Lucille Murray on July 6, 1981. Mrs. Murray, what is your full name?
Lucille Elizabeth Wilcox Murray.
And do you mind telling your date of birth?
My date of birth, February 10th, 1896.
Wonderful. And how long have you been living in Lakeville?
The family has been living for about 134 or 5 years in this house. I was not born here. My grandmother and aunt were the ones who lived here, and I was brought here very often, vacations, Christmas time, summers,
yes,
so that I got to be fairly well acquainted with, let's say, the natives of Lakeville.
Yes. Could you tell about the background of this property? I know that your grandfather had this house originally, but the history goes back even before that.
My grandfather was born in 1797 and was living while Washington still had 2 years to go. He was one of a number of sons of Bradford Cleveland, who was married to Eunice Farnham, who was the sister of Peter Farnham, who ran at that time and later on the Farnham Tavern.
Certainly Farnham and Cleveland are two very famous names here in Lakeville.
While my grandfather was educated at the Berkshire Medical Institute, which is long gone out of existence, he and other young men of his class in medicine went to New York and set up independent practices down there. And my grandfather had a pharmacy, was also a dentist and a doctor, all rolled into one, near the Battery. And he lived there until 1856. But 10 years before, he had begun buying property on Farnham Road, on both sides, up to about where the cannons used to live, which was, as you know, the one of the Post Road taverns.
Yes.
The same as the Farnham Tavern was, and many more in this whole area.
Yes.
They did not come up here to live in for 10 years. But when they did, he was retired from medical practice in New York. He came up here to farm, and so this property became farmland, which was almost a part and parcel of what his brother Fred had taken over after the death of their parents.
Yes. The property, I know, was vastly different in that time. You spoke when we were talking the last time about the quarry.
Well, the quarry was on Farnham Road on the southern side and was, of course, on this property that my grandfather had begun buying in 1846. I do not know anything much about the operation of the quarry or who operated it, but I believe that the stones for the basin of Governor Holly's so-called mansion in those days was taken out of that hole. My grandfather had given Governor Holly a 99-year lease.
Yes.
And the condition was that that stone was to be used for the foundation of his new home. It was soon discovered, or somewhat after that it was discovered, that Governor Holly was continuing to take out the stones, which became the foundation for the present Lakeville Journal, which was the knife factory
yes.
afterwards. So my grandfather put an injunction on his proceeding further, and it reverted to our ownership in 1956.
Yes.
And I could have reclaimed this. Probably had to pay back taxes because I know nothing about whose property it was on or who paid the taxes all those years. But I thought I had plenty of ground without just the hole.
Without another hole.
Yes.
You said, Mrs. Murray, that the house when your grandfather moved here was very small.
Very small. It was a, I don't know whether you call it a cracker box or not, but it was a rectangular clapboard with an extension in the rear, which was at least summer kitchen, and probably in the beginning was used all year round. I don't know. But it was gradually added to as the time went on.
And how large a family did your grandfather have?
I cannot tell you how many brothers there were. Somewhere in this house, I know there is a list of their names. But they scattered so that there was only, by 1956, there was only Fred Cleveland living in what we've always called the sawmill house.
Yeah.
Because the boring mill, which their parents had, in revolutionary times, had turned into a sawmill, which he operated, and to which all people having tree trunks to be sliced up would bring them to be processed.
And where is that or where was that sawmill located?
That is the sawmill house on Cleveland Road.
I see.
Which Ralph Ingersoll once lived in. George Simenon, the French novelist, once lived on, and during my lifetime, a number of other people.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've just had a very wet 4th of July weekend here in Lakeville, and the town activities were very festive despite the rain. There were fireworks, and an especially thrilling time, the opening of the new wing of the Scoville Memorial Library. I wonder, Mrs. Murray, if you can go back in your memory to what you may have done as a little girl to celebrate 4th of July here in Lakeville.
Well, I noticed a good many firecrackers in this general area being set off, and I thought there was a law against it, but they went off nevertheless. In my childhood, there would have been many more.
Oh, really?
It would have been much noisier. Probably the celebration was mainly picnics, probably at the Grove, which in my childhood had been given over to the use of town people by the owner, who was of Governor Holley's family. So that I can remember over there tents being set up.
Yes.
And townspeople going that far away from home to tent to camp. But probably a great many of the townspeople would go up there with their picnics. Of course, there were no ovens and there was nothing much but just the land at that time. But otherwise, I imagine there were family parties with the ice cream having been made previously, and everybody having helped to grind it, to freeze it. And so I cannot think of anything very hilarious.
But lots of noise.
Lots of noise. Mm-hmm. And once in a while a cannon. Now, I don't know where the cannon were located, but once in a while you knew that the boom came from no firecracker but something.
When you and your family, could you tell me just a little bit about your mother and father, please?
Well, to go back to my grandfather being a doctor still in New York City, he married a young English girl who came over in 1841 out of St. chair was an editor's chair to him, and he was about 50 years old at that time. And while she was in the chair, he kissed her.
She How shocking.
Very indignant, and she slapped him in the face. So he said to her, "Well, if you don't like it, I'll take it back." So he kissed her again. And from then on, the romance, such as it might have been, developed. And they were married, and they had 8 children, of whom the eldest was Almira Cleveland, whose name has been well known in this area for many years, probably less so now, but it used to be very, very well known.
What did he do in this area, Mrs. What did he do in this area?
In this area, he came up to farm,
I think,
on the land which he had acquired during the previous 10 years.
Yes.
And in cooperation with Fred, his brother, whose land was around the sawmill house, which was at the end of Cleveland Street, now named. And spread all over the meadows up to the rear of the Main Street.
Yes.
We always think of it as Myron Holly's area. Extended toward the north, quite a distance, I don't know to how many meadows, and then on eastward to include to run it into at least the property which on the north side of Farnham Road had my grandfather had acquired.
Yes.
So he came up to farm it. Because although he had been a doctor, he did not like New York City, and he came up at the drop of a hat to help his brother Fred.
Yes.
Now and then.
Yes.
But he would come up on the new train, the railroad, and get off and walk over the mountain. We called it beyond Brinton Hill. Come across and over to his brother Fred.
Yes,
that was before his marriage. So he came up and he farmed what I now have, and he began later on to sell off the properties on both sides of Farnham Road to people who built the houses that are now there.
Yes, you said that your grandfather had 8 children.
8 children. My mother was the youngest.
I see.
So that he, having been born in 1797, was a grandfather to her. And so that she was a little girl, and he an old man walking around after he ceased to be able to farm it, so-called.
Yes. So your mother actually
was a Cleveland.
Grew up here.
My mother was born and grew up here. Only the two first children, Almira Cleveland and Robert Cleveland, were born in New York before 1856 when they came up to live.
Yes, yes.
All the others were born here.
And could you tell me a little bit about your mother and father? What did your father do?
My mother was sent to Winsted for her education, secondary education, we would call it now, because there were good schools there.
Mm-hmm.
So that she was graduated. I do not believe it was Gilbert, because I don't think Gilbert School was in existence then, but I'm not sure. At any rate, she boarded in Winsted and went to school there for the length of their term or their instruction. Then she was a teacher at Miss Weed's school, which was up in Lakeville.
Oh, yes.
I have pictures of the building in which she taught, and Miss Weed sitting in a wagon, a horse and buggy wagon, very erect. There were probably two teachers lectures to a handful of private students,
yes.
Then I do not know exactly how my mother met my father. He was a Methodist minister and went to Drew Seminary and to Boston University in the school of theology.
Yes.
And he was assigned to, when he became a Methodist minister, he was assigned to a pastorate near Bedford, New York.
Yes, I know.
And I do not know exactly where and when my mother and he met, but they were married in the Lakeville Church.
Oh, they were.
They were married in the Lakeville Church, and
is that the same church that stands on the main street
church,
now?
Yes, mm-hmm. it looked very little different from what it does now.
Probably,
I have pictures of that church at a later time when Emmeline Barnett was married, who was the sister, I think, of Henry Barnett.
Oh, yes.
Who was the father of Bill.
Oh, Bill Barnett. Our longtime first election.
Yes.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I have no brothers and sisters. I never had any.
Oh.
So I've been an older child, and of course I have been accused of being spoiled.
Well, I don't see any of that in you. So, as a child, you traveled.
I came here for vacation, yes, with my mother or both of them. Christmas
from the time you were very little.
From the time I was first, I believe, brought at the age of 6 months from a pastorate. I was born in Plattekill, New York, which was 10 miles back of Newburgh, New York.
Yes.
And I suppose it was either from that pastorate or another one across the river that I was brought over the Poughkeepsie Bridge. And I can remember my mother being a little fearful of going over the Poughkeepsie Bridge and very glad when she got across.
Yes.
Which always amused me. But I was brought here at that early age and then continued on through to be coming just to visit my grandmother and aunt and for long stretches in summer vacation.
Yes. I'm sure you look forward tremendously to coming here in the summertime.
I suppose so.
Well, I think
it was like home to me. In fact, it's the only place where I feel that I have any roots, because a Methodist minister moves, as you at least used to move, every 3 years, certainly.
Yes.
Occasionally, would not be moved before he'd been there 5 years in a given pastorate. But I lived in 7 different counties of New York State, so we were uprooted. And had to pack all our belongings and send them by freight and so on every so often, so that this was a stabilizing place where I felt that it was my home.
Yes.
My grandchildren feel the same about it now.
Yes. When you came with your mother and father, did you arrive here by train?
Oh, yes. We arrived on central New England, coming from Millerton and Boston Corners,
oh, yes,
making connection with the Harlem Division of the New York Central, like it must have been then. I know it must have been then. And getting here on the central New England.
And is the little railroad station in Lakeville the one at which you arrived?
Exactly. That's the one at which we arrived, and we traveled on it, going towards the river and away from the river to Norfolk, Connecticut, because for 4 years my father was the pastor of the small Methodist church in Norfolk, which has long gone out of existence. But between the ages of six, my age, ages of six and ten, we lived in Norfolk. So, of course, that was a very short distance on the CNE back to Lakeville.
Yes.
So we came much more often than, I suppose,
yes,
ever before or afterwards.
You told me once, Mrs. Murray, when you were visiting at our house, which is right on Lake Minoscopomic, that the railroad actually went right through the site of our present house.
Yes, I said to your husband as we sat on your porch extension, I am sitting right on the Central New England track. And he said nobody had ever told him that.
Well, we had no idea. It seemed to me a lovely view for a railroad train.
Well, the railroad meanders, as I think of it, to Ore Hill at a very leisurely pace, and we went around curves and so on, and it seemed to be very, very green. As for seeing the lake, I don't remember that we saw it beyond the open space where now you can view it from the highway.
Yes,
but it was decidedly a rural railroad.
Was that your main means of transportation when you were going from one place to another?
Yes. Everything else was just horse and buggy, but to get from place to place, the railroads were our only way.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you were here in the summertime, I would guess that most of the produce was grown right here. You didn't have to worry about going to a store for your vegetables.
Well, yes and no. Probably before my birth, say at the end of the 19th century, and while my grandfather was still living, he died in 1883, and it must have been in the period when he was farming it here that would be true. After that, we went to the local store, and then there was Ean Silvernail over the hill on Farnham Road, whom daily I remember seeing when I was a child, pushing a wheelbarrow full of his produce up to Robert's store, where the outlet for his garden was. He was a very good truck farmer.
Yes. And with Robert's store, on Farnham Road?
No, Robert's store is now where the big food.
Oh, the food market is?
Yes, that building was there. I have pictures of it, and I know many, many people in town would have pictures of it. It was a two or three-story building,
mm-hmm,
much higher, and it had an auditorium in it to which shows would come.
Yes.
And it also had apartments, not many of them, but I know that I had been to at least one of them. Miss Rock was the sewing teacher, was a seamstress to whom everybody went for sewing, and she would go to the homes and sew dresses and so on, but she had her dwelling there in that building. And I can remember going with my Uncle Bob Cleveland to some sort of a show there. I don't remember. I don't remember much about it, except that I went with him one night to one of the traveling shows that were there with Casely. But the store itself was the big store for many years.
Did they sell dry goods as well as
they sold produce? Yes, they sold. It was almost like a country general store. I think of it as not so much the kind of country store that the White Hart Inn has, but something that was more of an emporium, let's say.
Yes.
And it did have everything. I can remember taking a little tin pail peanut butter. And they would grind the peanuts and put it into the pail, and I think I'd pay 15 cents for whatever was in the pail.
Well, the young people are going back to that now again, which is nice.
I suppose they are,
yes.
With the high cost of,
yes,
of peanut butter.
And also much more health conscious than they used to be.
But that was the general store. Then up in Salisbury, they would have had their general store. I don't remember much about what went on up there at my early age.
And since it wasn't too far away, you probably usually walked to the store.
Oh, yes, definitely. That is why we were so glad that I suppose my grandfather had the final vote, but that they came to live in this house and to prepare it for make it more suitable for living. They had a lot of things to do. Windows and things, I don't know the end of it. But we were very glad it was that much nearer than the house over beyond in which Esther Frank lived for many years. Her family lived in the home that burned down and has been rebuilt. And I don't know the name. I cannot give you right now the name of the people who own it.
Yes.
But that's quite a distance beyond, and it would have been much more of a hardship to have to walk from there every time you went to the station or went to the store.
Yes.
So we were very glad that they settled on this place and then began to build onto it as years went.
What would a typical summer day have been if you remember when you were, let's say, an early teenager? Were there activities in town as we had today, the swimming?
Well, there was swimming, certainly swimming. I had several very good friends. Miriam Everett was one of them, and Virginia Thrall was the other that were my closest girlfriends.
Excuse me, is Miriam Everett related to Dr. Everett?
No.
No.
Her name is spelled E-V-E-R-T-S. This is, her sister still lives on Montgomery Street. Trifina? I should know, and I do know, but I cannot
tell her
name, but she was a younger sister.
Yes.
And she still lives on Montgomery Street, where Miriam lived with her grandmother, I think it was. We went to school. There was one year when I was, it would have been the year for me to be in the seventh grade, wherever I was.
Yes.
And my father did not take a pastorate that year, but we were here with my grandmother and aunt. And I was sent to the local school. So my contact with the young people of my age really stemmed from those that I knew in the seventh grade under Miss Cullen, who was a very good teacher. And the school was where the post office now is.
Oh, really?
And that was an upper and a lower, probably four-room school, I'm not sure. But at any rate, I was in the seventh grade with Paul Cleveland, Floyd Eggleston, Clifford Warner, the Marhill, Lisa somebody.
What a memory you have, Mrs. Murray.
And some others whose names probably would pop into my mind when I wasn't trying to remember.
Yes.
So that I knew those young people. And then, of course, we always went to the Methodist Sunday School. And so any young people there my age, I knew. And that is, that makes it possible for me to have a quite vivid picture of Bill Barnes sitting as a little boy in one of the smaller chairs in the Sunday school room section of the parish house, the attached parish house. His father, Henry, being superintendent of the Sunday school. And he was sitting there very, very quietly waiting for Sunday school to begin.
And I
always just thought of him sitting there.
Yes.
Although I've known him a few years, but he was younger, you see. I was older than that.
Yes. Well, in the summertime you would swim, and were there summer courses given, classes for young people?
No, there was nothing of that kind that I remember. There was, of course, no beach. There was no lifeguard.
At the Grove.
At the Grove. There was a dock for the many boats that were there. The owner of the Grove had given a concession over a great many years to the people who ran the ice cream and soft drinks and rented the boats.
So even in those days, you could buy.
You could get a boat and go rowing if you knew how. I would have to say that I went into the water, but I never learned to swim till I was in college, which would have been from 1913. During the next
couple of years.
Yes. We had to take swimming, and so I learned to swim, but not very well.
Well, I'm ashamed of you, Mrs. Murray, having been right at the shore of Lake Winnipeg Potomac and not learning to swim.
Well, no, you just learned, probably some children by being thrown in.
Right.
But most of the youngsters knew how to swim, I guess. And we always went in the water. I mean, we enjoyed going bathing.
Yes.
Going into water. It was perfectly safe. For a long distance out from the shore, as you know. It was at that time that Mr. Johnny Jordan had a shack over in the rear, about in the position where the recreation building is now, a small shack where he lived, and he was a photographer, and a pretty good one. He had a white horse and a wagon, and he would be seen driving through the streets of Lakeville with children filling up the box of the wagon.
Yes.
And he was very, very, very interesting person. So he was there for quite a good many years with this photograph studio.
Yes.
Called Studio.
Yes.
Later on, he lived on Farnham Road, over beyond eastward from here, in a very interesting small shack plus a cave.
Oh, really?
The cave part had been dug out of the rocks there, with steps down and out to the highway a few paces. But there had been built probably what we would call two rooms now.
In the cave?
Yes, attached to that.
I see.
So that, as I remember, one went up the steps and went through an area which had been dug out, and then went into their dwelling, his dwelling.
Yes.
He later married a Miss Kipp, who lived on Farnham Road, near the village.
Yes.
And she died while they were there, and then he was taken to a home, a retirement home, for his latter years. But every day, he would walk up to the village, and he was a very spruce little man, and a very kindly one of them, whom he always visited with his little bouquet. And he always had his lasso. But he walked in a linen suit and a straw hat. He walked every day up for his mail, I suppose, and to make his rounds.
Yes. Where was the post office in those days?
The post office was, where was the post office?
Well, it's not
sure. I'm not quite sure, because I know that the Winkrick house was in there between Ada Miller's and what was then the schoolhouse,
mm-hmm.
which was now the post office, and just where the post office.
I know.
The post office was up in the Holly Block. Up on Main Street, across from the Salisbury Bank and Trust Company.
Oh, yes.
It was in there. So that, and there were some other shops all along. Harry Miller's shop was there, and there was another one or two, as I remember.
What did Harry Miller sell?
He was the plumber.
Oh, I see.
He was one of the two or three plumbers then in existence. Garrity being one of the others, I believe, even as long ago as that, I'm sure.
Yes.
And Bauman also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Names that are still
That's right. Uh-huh. And Liberty's had a drugstore up there. Liberty had a drugstore on the exact corner opposite the bank, before you got to the shop, which was Harry Miller's display place and headquarters.
Well, that was a sizable walk to go from Farnham Road to, but I guess in those days people didn't think very much of it.
People now think it's a terrible walk, but really no walk at all. I walk up to the lake and it's not too much for
even now.
No. I walk both ways easily, but I usually have a ride back from the senior citizens.
I think, Mrs. Murray, that we can continue this another time because...